$50 gift certificate to Builder Supply Outlet in Broadview with true outlet prices every day. Check out the Edge, your state-of-the-art kitchen and bath showroom. $50 gift certificate coming your way in the top 5 of 5 for that. That comes your way, in the next 20, 30, 40 minutes.
You're such a giver,
Ro. I know. Somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I am a giver. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Yes, you are.
That's what I like to tell everybody. Then I fight with them over the answer, whatever they say.
What are you talking about? I'm not.
What do you mean? Yes, I am. All right. Now, our old friend Howard Kramer is with us. And Howard, of course, is the former curator of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I got a question for you, Howard. I just do not understand this.
Sure.
It's going to be Prince. Last time I checked, Prince had no direct heirs, right? He had a sibling, I believe.
He's a half-brother.
Right.
Well, he had a child who was born with serious birth defects, and he's divorced twice.
Right.
So there you go.
But that child died.
Yes.
Yeah, that child died.
Yeah, the child died. Yeah. Yes.
So now, 29 people, Howard, 29 mm-hmm. people have come forward to claim the rights to his entire, whatever it happens to be, estate, of his music estate, his actual estate, all of that. What is going on there, Howard?
Well, people smell money, so they show up. And because it is an open and adversarial system, almost anybody can file. You could file. You could say, I, Ro Khan, am actually the sibling of Prince, or he promised me this in our business relationship, and I have documentation. Then you have to prove it to the court. You know, looking at all these people, a lot of the claims are about as far-fetched goes. They're without any reason or basis whatsoever. But there's one claim in there from a sound company that I'm actually quite familiar with, who are just trying to get their money back. They billed Prince. He stiffed them on the bill. They want their money back. They want to get paid. All right. But then there's another one who claiming 1/14th because of the great grandniece or something. At some point, the court is going to define what an heir is based upon Minnesota law, because that's the only thing that matters here, is how the state of Minnesota defines who has a claim. So all these people who claim that they're blood relatives who aren't willing to do the DNA test or don't pass it, they're tossed to the side. Then it comes down to what the court is actually going to say about who can actually have a piece of this.
I'm thinking about taking that DNA test because I've seen those commercials on TV where you can take a DNA test and you thought you were German. Next thing you know, mm-hmm. you're a Cherokee and mm-hmm. you're like, hey, look at this.
Wait a minute. Surprise, surprise.
Or Maury Povich has a seat for you. One of those things. Mm-hmm. Either way, you never know.
His one only full sibling, I guess, is named Tika Nelson, but there are 5 other half siblings. And they're saying, according to Minnesota law, 6 siblings will share equally. There's a little fight over that because the full sibling has asked that she receive more, and it seems like this is going to be really tough. What is the estate estimated at? Do you know about how much we're talking?
The word is $250 million, and I think it could be north of that, and I certainly think it's going to appreciate in value. When Elvis Presley died, he had a net worth of something like $3 million. Still, Elvis Presley, nearly 40 years after his death, generates hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue every year. Michael Jackson was in a very precarious financial position just before he died and trying to work his way back into solvency. And now that trust, that organization, generates massive amounts of money and has continued to do so. I think Prince will also make that transition. He's one of the few who can actually make that. They, as a group of individuals, have to negotiate this very carefully and do the right things. And there are a number of examples of how it was done wrong, the most glaring of which was the James Brown estate, where there were a number of children from a number of different women, and then there was a lot of territory grabbing. I don't know if you recall, one of his daughters had his body in the casket in her home for, I believe, 6 months.
Yes.
Now, weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aside from the fact it was weird, and then these ideas, well, we're going to make his home into a Graceland-like situation, and people can come visit. And very few artists can truly pull that off. And even Graceland pulls it off almost despite themselves sometimes, even though, again, Elvis Presley Enterprise has been massively successful. So what he did, what James Brown did, was what you don't do. And hopefully the Nelson family and the people around will be able to say, if you hold together properly and get the right people in to help manage this, because there are people who do this professionally, this could be your oil well, essentially. You'll be able to right. administer his artistic and creative legacy and not squander it, which is a great thing.
Howard, let's talk about this Brexit situation, because it interests me that now, especially since there's all of this economic uncertainty and the falling of the euro and the British pound against the dollar, it seems like a lot of these acts, especially the British acts, and you've seen the like sort of Jurassic Park tours that are going out, right? You've got sure. that that Desert Trip show. Mm-hmm. That's got, you know, the Stones and the Who and Paul McCartney and these are guys, you know, many of whom still pay taxes in England. It's going to be very interesting to see how some of those old timer acts actually respond to this, because they're going to want to make the money in American dollars.
Well, the weird thing about touring Europe has always been, years ago, was the coin of the realm issue. You know, you play different countries, and I used to be a tour manager, so I had to deal with this, where one night you're in Amsterdam, you're being played in guilders, the next night you're in France, you're being played in francs. You know, that went away, and it was an incredible thing to be able to go from border to border without a passport. And some acts, as the euro came into prominence, particularly one I can name is Metallica, focused their touring on Europe primarily because they could actually, it was worth more money there. They could actually generate more money, and through the way the taxes were structured, keep more money by touring Europe and not the United States as much. I think what this is going to do is just complicate matters. It's going to be an issue of visas, which were a huge problem at one point, and they're actually a problem for foreign artists who want to play in the United States. The one thing going for the music industry and entertainment industry, particularly the recorded music industry, is the fact that Great Britain may have a number of record companies, but those record companies have offices or deals with offices in Germany and France and various other territories, and there's going to be pressure from the other side to get deals together to make it happen. The artists that you're talking about, like the Stones, for instance, you know, the Stones are, as a company, are based in the Netherlands because you don't pay taxes on royalties in the Netherlands. U2 and AC/DC are also set up like that. So they're less affected by this, but they're also very cognizant of what the value of the euro, the pound, and the dollar are vis-a-vis where they're going.
Howard, since you have roots as a tour manager, there are a couple stories I want to ask you about. Adele was taking some heat because she dropped so many F-bombs during her concert, and all the parents are sure. like, oh, no, there's so many kids here. You know, why? That's not appropriate or whatever. I think someone counted it was 33 times in a 90-minute show. But then on almost in the same news cycle, 50 Cent was arrested for swearing and dropping one F-bomb in St. Kitts. And yeah. I guess my question is, I didn't even think about this, but do artists restrict their language or change their act based on where they're playing, or do they just like to stay true to their art and not change a thing?
Well, I guess it all depends how much heat you want to take. If you're going to play China, you're going to have to accede to the demands of the Chinese authorities, who are going to review your set list in advance and tell you if songs, they'll let you play certain songs or let you say certain things based upon what they know. So, yeah, you got to go. You got to do what you got to do. 50 Cent had to pay his money, had to pay his fine. I mean, there was an ordinance against public cursing in St. Kitts, okay? You know, the other thing about Adele was not really there's kids there. There's, you know, several hundred thousand people at Glastonbury. This is a big deal. Mm-hmm. It's broadcast. It's nationally broadcast in England. Oh. So it went live out on television. Then again, they're a lot more loose about language on television than we are over here.
Mm-hmm. If you ever, right, it's not a fine over there as it would be over here. But
no, it's a matter of common decency at
yeah.
this point.
Yeah.
But you know, Adele, in a way, really can pull it off. You know, oddly enough, you know, I'm in Cleveland last week after the Cavaliers rally, which was broadcast live locally. You know, LeBron dropped a number of choice words live on television.
Yeah, he did.
He did, yeah.
4:30 in the afternoon. I don't think anybody really complained about it. You know, there's a lot of people there, too. They're going to let it go. It's a matter of how do you want to best present yourself? Look, you're not going to walk into a job interview and start dropping, you know, an F-bomb here and there. It's not going to do you very well, is it?
Well, that's how I got this job. Howard.
You're a pro, bro.
Depends
you're
on the job.
Pro.
Yeah, I know, right. Mm-hmm. Well, Adele, is enduring some criticism just for not just in this particular case, but this has been a summer of discontent, right? She had that incident in her concert where she started yelling at somebody who was filming her, which, by the way, I support her in, because that wasn't just like somebody with their cell phone up. It was an actual camera that was being used to record her.
Yeah,
she thought there was some
on a monopod or something like that. Yeah.
Right. And so she had a little concern with that. Then she apparently burped in some guy's face. Right. So there was some story about that within the last couple of days, and that was caught on video. And the issue is she's 28 years old, and there are some people saying, hey, look, she's 28 years old. She's been star now for 5 years. She just hasn't really grown up yet, and she's a 28-year-old acting like a 20-year-old.
Well, I think most people find her kind of charming in a sense. It may be kind of vulgar. And there's artists who are far more vulgar than her, but she still has a certain innocence and truth about what she does. I don't think there's a lot of artifice about her. Granted, she dresses up and she puts on makeup, and that's great, fine. You know, wearing Spanx is not a crime to hide what's underneath your dress. Right. But
guilty as charged. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there'd be a lot of women who'd be in court. You're right, though. She's so true to who she is.
And that's the beautiful thing about it, because she just puts it all out there, and it's very, very pure, and it's not... Like, there's a lot of other artists who are much less interesting as human beings than she is. And, you know, she'll learn and she'll grow. And the next time she tours, however many years it is from now, she may adopt a different way of behaving.
Yeah.
She's also a mother now. You know, she's going to see if her kid grows up. Am I going to be an example like that
right.
for my kid?
Right.
It's, mm-hmm. you know, these things we all need to learn and grow. You're not the same person at 28 as you are at 35 as you were at 20.
And it's always interesting to watch these artists, because when they have that crowd in front of them, and now they get very comfortable with the idea of their celebrity and their idea that they are able to enthrall people by the thousands. That then all of a sudden they start talking about anything they want to talk about.
You mean on stage?
Yeah.
Just a ramble?
I was at Steely Dan a couple of weeks ago, right? And Walter Becker is like standing on stage, and he's playing, and he's just talking over a riff of his guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, and he starts just telling these stories. Don't go anywhere. And Howard, for like 7 or 8 minutes at a time. And I'm like, what is he doing? Let Donald Fagen sing.
You bring up a very good point, Rob, because some artists understand what it's like to make a show, and it's not necessarily about them, even though they're an entertainer. They're there to entertain for the audience. They'll say things, they can do things, they can make it interesting, but they also know ultimately people are paying money to be entertained, right? And some artists, as you said the thing about Adele, and I don't think it's necessarily true about her in particular, but there are those who get their own narrative going, and there's never anybody next to them whispering in their ear going, you might want to reconsider that. Or how about taking another tack? And going back to Prince, as we talked about earlier, there was no one next to him saying, you really need to consider that when the day you're no longer here, you're going to leave behind something that needs to be taken care of.
Right.
How do you want it taken care of? Because now he has no say in it. It's a judge in the state of Minnesota. It's all about how you handle yourself. I mean, guys like Jagger, you know, you mentioned the Stones earlier with the shows in the desert. You know, he's a grown-up man. He knows what he's doing. He knows what the crowd wants. He knows how to take care of business. He's at the top of the pyramid. Other artists should look at a guy like him as to how to conduct themselves.
Yeah, he's an elderly man. He's not just a grown-up man.
Respect your elders.
That's exactly what he is. All right.
He's a great-grandfather, now that you mention it. Yes.
Right, he is.
Great-grandfather?
Yes, but
he's
can still
grandfather, yes.
He can still move. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah. Oh, he can move like Jagger. Right.
Yes. All right.
I saw that coming.
He set me up for it.
Yeah, Howard, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Talk to you next week.
You got it. Thanks a lot, guys.
Right, Howard Kramer, who is our resident rock and roll expert.
I like his behind-the-scenes look at everything.
Yeah. It's a good question, though, about the touring, because it is interesting that now we got a whole other world ahead of us here.
Mm-hmm.
With Brexit and everything else that is occurring. And being a tour, you know, you start to wonder. The world feels like it feels like 1916 all over again. And that was, as I recall for the world, that was not a good year.
No.
So it's getting a little weird out there.
Things are.
Mick Jagger can tell us about 1916.
Oh, yeah, he could.
He was a young lad at that point. Short pants. Mommy, should I go off to war? No, Michael.